The Bible is the word of Almighty God. Therefore, it does not need to be defended, only understood. The purpose of this program is to present to you, our viewers, the key to understanding the Scriptures. There is within the pages of the Bible itself a God-given design for studying the Bible. All the confusion that exists within Christianity today is the result of two failures. Number one, ignoring God's design for Bible study, and number two, failing to believe what the Bible actually says. We remind you of what the Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew 5:18, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall abide forever." We're instructed in Romans 3:4, "Let God be true, but every man a liar." We are informed by 2 Timothy 3:16 that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And as well, God tells us how to study His Word in 2 Timothy 2:15. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." That's God's design, rightly dividing the word of truth. Not according to your liking, not into verses you want or don't want to obey, but making distinctions where God makes distinctions. Obeying that portion of the Bible that is specifically addressed to us today. Now, here is our teacher, Pastor Thomas Bruchet.
Important truths from God's Word. What could be more important than your eternal destiny? Whether you spend eternal life in heaven, or, Lord willing, you wouldn't, but the possibility of spending eternal life in hell. That's more important than anything else we ever stop and consider in a day's work and a day's play. And so we thank you today for joining with us, and you listen real closely, because I want to share with you today a subject that I guess I would entitle The Joy of Sins Forgiven. You know, maybe in our society today, with so much sin around us and we get used to it, we don't really stop and consider the fact that we need to have our sins forgiven before a holy God. And because we don't think too much of sin, perhaps we don't think too much of forgiveness, and perhaps there's no joy there. But I hope in the course of this Bible study today, we might show you from the Bible that you do need your sins forgiven. You need to have eternal life, and that can be done. You can know for sure before this program's over, and by the end of this program, from the things that you hear from God's Word, not from a promise from me, but from what God's Word says, you can know that you can have eternal life as a present possession, and you can have it before this half hour is over. Now, the joy of sin forgiving. Let me read to you from the book of Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 3, where the Apostle Paul writes to Ephesians, people who lived at the city of Ephesus, Gentiles like you and I. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." Boy, before I even get too far into these verses, already the blessings start pouring forth. The verse said in verse 3 that we're already blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, and that we have been predestined to become the children of God, to stand before God holy and without blame before him in love. I don't know if you realize what a blessing that is, to think that someday you can be able to stand before a holy God and you'll be able to stand before him holy and without blame in love. Boy, that's a promise that is offered to every person through Jesus Christ, as you're going to see here. But it goes on to say, having predestined us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Not only can we be blessed with all spiritual blessings that God has for us, not only can we someday stand before him holy and without blame before him in love, but this verse says that we can be his children and therefore will be accepted into God's family and be his children through Christ. Verse 6 says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. You know, in the world that we live in today, acceptance is something that's very important to people. The children want to be accepted by their classmates, and we who go out and work in the work world, we want to be accepted by the people that we work with. We always want to be accepted by the boss. We want to be accepted in the community. Acceptance is something very important, very needful for us. Did you ever stop and think about being accepted with God? Well, that verse 6 says, to the praise of the glory of His grace, speaking of God's grace, wherein He, God, hath made us accepted in the Beloved. That Beloved, all these verses refer back to being in Christ. And the Bible says in this verse that you and I can be accepted in Christ. You know, a lot of times when we share the gospel and ask people to trust Jesus Christ as their Savior, we'll say, accept Jesus Christ right now as your personal Savior. And when we do that, we're really saying something. The Bible tells us to believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior. The acceptance is not done on our part, it's done on God's part. In this sense, that when we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, we are accepted in the Beloved. That is, God the Father looks down, and if He sees us in Christ, He accepts us. Boy, to have that kind of acceptance is the greatest acceptance there is. It goes on to say, though, all these blessings are ours in Christ. Verse 7 goes on to say in Ephesians chapter 1, in whom, again, in Christ, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. In Christ, in whom, we have redemption. Redemption speaks about the payment of a price. And the price that it's referring to, the redemption, refers back to the forgiveness of sins. Jesus Christ, when He died on the cross, died in payment for our sins that we might have the redemption that's through His blood. He shed His blood at Calvary in total, complete payment of our sin. That's why we can be accepted in Christ. That's why we can be blessed in God, in Christ. That's why we can become adopted into the family of God in Christ. That's why we can stand before God holy and without blame, all through the redemption that's in the blood of Christ. In whom we have redemption through His blood. Now, the last part of this verse, listen closely. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. We get a lot involved in riches today, all kinds of things that we think are very valuable. Nothing could be more valuable in this world than the riches of God's grace. God's grace looking down upon mankind who is a sinner, and in the riches of His grace, there was enough wealth in His grace to make us accepted in Jesus Christ, to save our soul and to give us eternal life because of the redemption that's through Christ's blood. The blood of Christ was rich enough, and God in His grace was rich enough to accept you and I and forgive us of our sins according to the riches of His grace. You know, there's another Bible verse that says, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And so we realize the riches of God's grace. When you think about the sin that's in the world, there's much sin in the world. And yet you look at all the sin, all the filthiness, and this verse and the one in Romans tells us that the riches of God's grace is able to save everybody. That where sin abounded, and boy, it has abounded, grace, it much more abounds. So my friend, as you listen to me today, if you're guilt-ridden about the sins that you've done, some things that might have taken place in the far past or in the near past, some things that just bother you day in and day out, I want to assure you that the blood of Jesus Christ and the grace of God is sufficient to give you eternal life, and you can have redemption through Christ's blood. The Bible says, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. So you can receive forgiveness of sins because Jesus Christ went to the cross and on that cross shed His blood in payment for our sins. You know, so often people are running someplace trying to get forgiven their sins. If you'll notice what this verse says, it says that we have already been given forgiveness of sins. In Christ, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. We have redemption and we have forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ. You know, the one thing you need to stop and consider right away at this point, how do you get in Christ? How do you get in Christ where you can get all those blessings, where you can be accepted without blame before God in love, where you can be adopted into the family of God, where you can be accepted in the Beloved, where you can have redemption, where you can have forgiveness of sins? How do you get in Christ to get all these blessings? Well, Paul is writing to the Ephesians saints, not just any person who lives at the city of Ephesus. In chapter 1, verse 1, it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints that are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. When he writes to the saints, he's not just talking about people who are saintly. Nobody ever considered Gentiles in Bible days saintly. But he's writing to people who were saints because they were sanctified in Christ Jesus. That's another thing that you get when you're in Christ. You're sanctified. And that is set apart from the world. You no longer belong to the world. You belong to God. And He cleanses you from your sins. And you're set apart from your sins. You're set apart from the world. And you belong to God. And that you get that way in Christ, but you get there by faith. When Paul writes to these Ephesians, he says again in chapter 1, verse 13, speaking about Christ, in whom we have redemption, in whom ye also trusted. Speaking about the Ephesian saints, came a point in their life where they trusted in Jesus Christ. To trust in Christ means to rest in Him. To trust somebody is to just to simply relax and believe that they're capable of doing what they said they would do. If you trust me, you do what I say, the kind of idea. And the Ephesian saints, the Apostle Paul came into the city of Ephesus and he began to preach the redemption that's in Christ's blood, the forgiveness of sins that's in Christ's blood, that Jesus Christ died on Calvary and shed His blood for the full, complete payment of sins, and he offered that to the Ephesian saints and they said, I can trust that. Now that's what you need to do as well. But in whom also ye trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after ye believed you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. All these things came their way when they rested and trusted in Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 3 verse 9 says, and be found in Him, again in Christ, not having your own righteousness, or mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And so the way they got in Jesus Christ to receive these blessings is they put their faith in Jesus Christ. But you know, I want to go a little bit further with you on that. I want you, first of all, to realize, don't go anywhere else for forgiveness of sins. You don't have to go out your front door. You don't have to go anywhere except to God. And realize and trust in faith that Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago died on a cross for the redemption of your sins. And if your sins are paid for, then you can have forgiveness of sins if you do what the Ephesians did. They trusted in that. They said, if He did that for me, that's enough. I can trust that. You know, there's a story about a man who was in the hospital. In fact, it was a priest. And as he was in the hospital and he was laying in bed, they discovered he had a terminal illness. He'd never leave the hospital. And he was laying there dying, and it just so happened that a fundamental evangelist was sitting there in the next bed to him. And day after day, the priest, an elder priest, would come see the younger priest who had the terminal illness. And he would go to the bedside of that young priest, and that young priest would confess sins and try to remember everything to make sure he could get forgiveness of sins. And he would do the penance that he was told to do, and the older priest would leave, and that young priest would just lay there and just wonder, how do I know? How do I know? How do I know my sins are forgiven? And he could never rest assured. And as he approached closer and closer to death, he was troubled. Until one day the older priest came in and the young priest confessed the sins and did the penance. And he said to the older priest, he called him father. And nonetheless he said, how can I know for sure that my sins are gone? How can I rest and know that my sins are taken care of? And the older priest just shook his head as if there was no way of really knowing. Until the fundamental evangelist turned his head toward the younger priest and he said, Surely the blood of Jesus Christ counts for something. And the young priest, as a light bulb almost went off in his head, he realized what Jesus Christ has done for him. And he said, oh, yes, I can trust that. And not only could that young priest trust that, you can trust the blood of Jesus Christ. You can take God at His word and put your faith in Jesus Christ. And you know what can happen the very moment you believe God? The guilt and the penalty of your sins, the shame of your sins, just lifted right off your back in a moment of time, because you're trusting the Word of Almighty God. You're not trusting me. I'm reading you some verses of the Bible. And when you believe God, then you have an assurance and you know your sins are forgiven. And let me share with you what kind of joy can flood your soul. In Luke chapter 9, even before Christ went to the cross, one of His problems is when He dealt and ministered to the nation of Israel, they would not receive Him as their Messiah. The Pharisees, the religious men of their day who wore the religious gowns and paraded up and down the street and they thought they were holier than everyone else, that they were checking Christ out constantly. And it comes in Luke chapter 7, verse 36, a Pharisee asked Christ to come to his home. And it says, one of the Pharisees desired Him that He would eat with him. And He went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner. I stop here to tell you the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But when it says this woman was a sinner, it's saying that in the point that everybody knew she was a sinner. The Pharisee, he was a sinner, but his was covered up pretty good. It wasn't quite as known. But everybody knew this woman in the community was a sinner. It said, behold, the woman in the city was a sinner. When she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping and began to wash his feet with her tears and did wipe them with her hair of her head and kissed the feet of his feet and anointed him with ointment. Now when the Pharisee had bidden him, saw it, he spake in himself. Now notice he said this in himself. He didn't speak out loud to the Lord. He don't believe the Lord. He invited the Lord to his house just so he can kind of check out the Lord. The Pharisee had the idea. And by the way, it's a biblical term that it's talked about in the Old Testament, how men will think they're holier than thou, holier than God. And this Pharisee thought he was holier than Jesus Christ. He could stand in the presence of Jesus Christ and not feel ashamed of his sins because of his own self-righteousness. And the Bible says, man's righteousness in God's sight is as filthy rags. This guy was in a miserable, wretched condition and didn't realize it. But you know, this woman did. In fact, if I read again verse 38, it says, and she stood at his feet behind him weeping. She wouldn't, this lady who was a sinner, she stood behind Jesus Christ. She wouldn't go stand in front of his face. She was ashamed because of her sins. And the presence of sin can't stand in the presence of holiness. She realized that. And she knew who Jesus Christ was. She was ashamed. She was a sinner. But oh, she knew that someday a Messiah would come into this world and would provide salvation for even such a person as her. And she was coming to that person, realizing the guilt and the shame and even the penalty of eternal damnation that would be against her for her sins. You see, when Jesus Christ was here, he was preaching the gospel of the kingdom was at hand. And if God did not postpone the kingdom and offer us Gentiles an opportunity to be saved in this age of grace, the kingdom would have came just after Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, a year after. And this woman facing the end of time realized there's going to be a judgment. And she realized in her sinful condition that she needed forgiveness. And here she is at the feet of Jesus, kissing his feet, washing him with her hair, anointing his feet with ointment. And then this self-righteous Pharisee, he speaks in himself and says, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is which toucheth him, for she is a sinner. Didn't consider himself such. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, Master, say on. You know, Christ, he knows what's in this man's thoughts, in his heart. And he's about to reveal that. But he says to this man who's Simon, this is not Simon Peter, it's another Simon. Jesus said unto him, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And the man just says, say on. You know, when my parents used to say, hey, Tom, come here, I want to say something to you. I knew I was in trouble. I knew right then and there I was going to get it. And that here Jesus says to this man, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he just simply says, say on, self-confident in his self-righteousness. Listen how the Lord puts him in his place. He said there was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. Now, if one owed 500 and the other 50, you'd realize that one owed 10 times more than the other. It says, when they had nothing to pay, and notice the illustration that Christ is using, two debtors, they owe a creditor, two of them, they owe him some money. One owes 10 times more than the other, but they both owe. And not only do they both owe, it says, when they had nothing to pay. Listen, how are you going to pay off your own sins? This creditor, this Pharisee, he thought he only owed God a little bit. If you owe God anything, if you owe God for one sin you've committed, then you're in trouble. Because you're standing in the presence of a holy God and he'll condemn even one sin. And this Pharisee didn't realize that he couldn't pay his debt. He needed a Savior as much as this sinner did. Because he himself was one. But Jesus went on and said, when he had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore, which will love him the most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. Certainly the one who owes 10 times more, if two people were just let off the hook, forgiven of their sins. Now, we are sinners, but we weren't just let off the hook. Remember, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Jesus Christ paid for our sins. That's why we can be forgiven of our sins. But in this illustration, these two debtors both owed and couldn't pay, and they were forgiven of their debt. And so naturally, the one who owed 10 times more would love the creditor and appreciate the forgiveness more. And so the Lord, the Pharisee, answered the Lord right, and Christ tells him so. In verse 44, he turned to the woman, and that's interesting to me. He's going to speak to Simon. It says, he turned unto the woman and said unto Simon. The whole lesson has to do with Simon. But Christ turns to the woman, speaks unto Simon, and here's what he's got lesson for Simon to understand. He said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I have entered into thine house. I came into your home, and thou gavest me no water for my feet. That's how you refreshed a visitor in Bible days. He walked dry, dusty roads, and you gave them water to wash their feet, cool them off, make them feel good. But she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. Verse 45, thou givest me no kiss. And that's how you greet it. In our day, we handshake. In the Middle East, they still greet with a kiss. But it says, thou givest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. This woman just stayed at the feet of Christ. And then it says, my head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Christ walks into this man's house. This man doesn't give him anything to cleanse his feet, cool him off, refresh him. Doesn't greet him with a kiss at all. And then doesn't give him any kind of ointment. And they used to use olive oil to bring natural moisture back into the head of their hair and in their skin because of the dry climate. But this man does nothing in a way of a proper greeting, treating the Lord Jesus Christ with the respect he needed. But the woman, she was down there kissing the feet of Jesus Christ, washing his feet with her hair. And then drying it with her hair, and then anointing his feet with ointment, kissing his feet. It goes on to say, he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. The Lord Jesus Christ, looking at the woman, all this time has been speaking to Simon. When he got all done addressing Simon, as he's looking to the woman, he looked her right in the eye, and he said, thy sins are forgiven thee. She owed God an awful lot. She was a sinner. Perhaps you owe God an awful lot. It doesn't matter which debtor you are, whether you owe a little or a lot. If you owe anything, you're in trouble. If God says you could jump across the Grand Canyon, I'll give you everlasting life, and you get like Evel Knievel, a rocket car or a rocket motorcycle, and you jump over that canyon and you get 300 feet yards out and you miss, you come close, but you miss. If I am ignorant enough just to take a running jump out of my own strength and only get 10 feet out and I miss by a mile, it don't make any difference. We both missed. And so we come short. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But Jesus Christ was able to forgive sins. Jesus Christ turned to this woman and he said, thy sins are forgiven. He was able to do that knowing that he was going to go to a cross and shed on that cross his blood, as the Bible says, for the redemption of her sins, for the payment of her sins. And he was offering her forgiveness with what he is going to pay in the future for her. And after he did that, the Pharisees that are sitting around there, you think they're happy for someone to have their sins forgiven? Religious people don't like that. They lose their prestige. They lose their honor. It says, and they that sat at meat with him began to say unto themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? Who is this? Here holiness was sitting in their very presence. They were standing in the presence of Jesus Christ, and he was offering sinners of all degrees eternal life and salvation through him. And they were standing in his presence, and they were still self-righteous, not seeking a Savior, not realizing that they were the debtor in the very parable he's telling them that they owed him to. And they began to say, who is this that forgives sins? You realize they did not rest their faith in Jesus Christ? They were trying to find every way they could not to trust in him, and they didn't. But you know, after Christ says that, it says the very next verse, he said again to the woman. Now it says, he said to the woman, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. Now you know what saved this woman? Not the fact that she bowed down and kissed Christ's feet. washed his feet with her hair and her tears. Not that she anointed his feet with ointment. But what Christ says, the thing that saved her, the thing that brought her forgiveness of sins, it said, he said unto the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Saved her from her sins. She, more than anybody else, she stood behind Christ realizing he's the Holy Son of God who came into this world to save sinners. And she was one of those sinners who needed the salvation that he could offer because she couldn't work for her own salvation. She couldn't be good enough before God. She knew she owed him and couldn't pay off the debt. And yet Jesus Christ knew he was going to the cross to die for her sins and offered her forgiveness. And he says, thy faith. You're not saved by what you do. You're saved by believing in Jesus Christ and what he did for you. Salvation's not by trying. Salvation's by trusting. Salvation is you realizing you're the sinner that Jesus Christ hung on a cross and died for. Salvation is yours when you rest in Jesus Christ and say, thank you for dying for my sins. That's what this lady did in interactions. And Christ said unto the woman, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. The Bible says, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. He said unto the woman, go in peace. You realize the load that was lifted off of that lady's back? You realize the guilt and the shame that she had on her shoulders, realizing that she's going to be judged someday for her sins, and realizing that when she came to the feet of Jesus Christ, she was offered forgiveness of sins, and she got it in a moment's time. And so can you. Trust Jesus Christ as your Savior.
We hope this program has been an eye-opener to you. We are not out to destroy anyone's faith, but to establish your faith upon the truth. Only then will you experience real liberty. The truth shall set you free. If we could be of any further assistance to you, we would love to help you. Or if you would like any of the free literature you see on your screen, you may call or write Grace Bible Church, 13630 Common Road, Warren, Michigan, 48093. Our phone number is area code 313-778-5032. Once again, that's Grace Bible Church, 13630 Common Road, Warren, Michigan, 48093, area code 313-778-5032. This program is presented freely to you in cooperation with this local public cable station. Thank you for sharing this time with us. Join us again this time next week to learn more about God's message of grace. Until then, this is Daniel Schulert speaking for all of us at Grace Bible Church, praying that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe.